has been and always will be. He says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" Paul was the teacher of being in union with Christ. Paul was the one who had taught, as he did the Romans and in the places that he went, that those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have been regenerated, are plunged into Christ, baptized into Christ. His Spirit has brought them into union with the living God. And that makes us different. Those that are God's true children, changed by the living God. And that again makes the piercingness of this question real. They'd been instructed in these things. We have to be reminded as a people sometimes of some very basic truths. And it is the blessing of God that we can be reminded. And those that have a heart after Christ, upon hearing that reminder, are reproved in spirit and thankful to their God for fixing their eyes back where they need to be. He says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" You've been drawn into His assemblies. You have been supernaturally made part of God's body. "Shall I then take the members of Christ?" And the word "take" there means take away. Shall I pull away God's members and join them to a harlot? These are grievous things. My friend, if there's anything rampant, not just outside these walls, but in the assemblies that name the name of Christ today, it is immorality. It is fornication. It is adultery. If you will look at the statistics, the very sad tale is there is virtually no difference between unwed mothers outside the four walls of the buildings that bear Christ's name and those inside. No difference. Same amount of young women. One out of four American women have had abortions. One out of six are inside professing bodies of Christ. The vast majority of those unwanted pregnancies are illegitimate pregnancies. This is an absolutely unthinkable thing to Paul. God forbid. God forbid. May it never be. May it never be. Purity. Purity should be emblazoned upon the hearts and the lives of those who say, "I have been changed by the living God." Purity. Not nastiness. Filthiness. The sad tales doctors could tell about well-known church members if they were forced to. A low view of sin always leads to that. And it always leads to a low view of holiness. What? Third question. Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. He says, don't you understand what happens in a physical union? And there's a thought underlying what he's putting before us. ignorance of what God's Word teaches. And it is rampant in what we see today. When the Lord first saved me, He put me in a school called Preaching Circuit. And I preached in practically every kind of denomination and every kind of church, from Pentecostal to Catholic, for 3 years. And that's an amazing university. But the one thing that was clear everywhere, apart from number one, no love for Christ, was number two, ignorance of what God's Word says and teaches. Brethren, we have the Word. God has blessed us. God has raised up preachers and teachers that are preaching God's Word. What soil are we proving ourselves to be? He says, don't you understand what happens here? He says, God's Word. And remember, there's Gentiles in this. And he's quoting from the Old Testament Scriptures. The two shall be one flesh. We can assume it was him that taught them this, but if it wasn't, it had to have been something known among the assembly there. Maybe because of the Jewish constituency. But he says, don't you know what God's Word says about this? Penetrating questions to a church. It's one thing to be out down on Chime Street saying to people, do you not know what God's Word says? It's another thing to be writing to beloved in the Lord. Brethren, saints of God, called to be saints, called into the fellowship of His Son. As He says in chapter 1, do you not know what God's Word says? He says, when two bodies are joined together, in God's eyes, they've become one. And He says, your body wasn't made for that. He says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Making an analogy, he says, you weren't made for a wicked, immoral unity. What you were made for was a glorious, holy, spiritual unity with the living Christ. Don't you know? Don't you know? He even begins that one with what? And you can see his passion in this. He's saying this as to children. He says in one place, you have not many fathers. I'm your father in the spirit. He says, what? You moms and dads, you've experienced that. You've told your children something. They turn around and do it right in front of you. You go, what? You clear? Wasn't I clear? Didn't you see? Oh, brethren. He says, those of you that are joined to a harlot are one body. God's Word says that they're one flesh. Oh, there's a contrast. Those of you in Christ are one with the Lord. One with the Lord. One in spirit. Because of that, then he tells them, flee fornication. Notice he doesn't say, now deal with it. Learn how to handle it. No, he says, run away. There's some sins that you don't stand and fight with. I use the analogy talking to someone today, and I will use it again. It's just like Tar Baby. You go, poof, to some of them. And the next thing you know, in order to get that off, you got your other hand in it. And then your legs. And then before you know, you can't tell you from the tar. There's some sins like that, brethren. You don't need to be experts on them. Some things, just run. Run. Paul says, flee. Every time the word flee is used in the New Testament, it is with the idea of some horrible danger about to fall. We don't really believe that sexual impurity is that big a deal. Paul does, and he said, God said so. He says, you weren't made for that. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. We won't take any time to go over this other than to say he's making clear that the desecration to God's body in sexual immorality is not like some sins. And in its filthiness and its wickedness, It is to be shunned and fled from. I'm going to tell you, Hollywood says, come over here, it's here. The car dealers sell the cars with woman's body hung over them. Young people flee. Flee. Don't play. Don't stop to gaze. Run. Run like something that could eat you up and devour you is hot on your heels, because it is. And you ask anybody that's done any counseling over the years, he will come and sadly tell you the botched up marriages that he has to deal with because of fornication and people not following God's path. Not even to get into the diseases and the things that accompany that. What? Our last question. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He says again, what? What? Shock, grief, sorrow. What? Don't you know? I preach the gospel to you. I preach the glories of the kingdom of God to you. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? What is he saying? He's saying something that is so astounding that it just goes by us most of the time. What would our lives be like if we really believed that God dwelt within us? That this was his address. Not that we are gods. That's a lie. But we're partakers of the divine nature. Because he dwells within us. That's a fact. Do you know how drastically, how dramatically, the things we do and say would be overhauled if that really gripped us as it ought? And one of the reasons it doesn't grip us is because of a low view of sin. A low view of holiness. Ignorance of God's word. Turning our eyes away to the things of the world rather than keeping them focused on the things of God. He says, my dear children, don't you understand that you yourselves are God's building? It's not these four walls. Here's where God lives. Here's where God is erecting for eternity his holy building. Paul speaks about it in Ephesians. He speaks about it. Peter talks about it. Being lively stones built up on the cornerstone. A lot of times it doesn't grab me the way I want it to. But you see, if you take that to heart, if the Spirit of God illumines your mind to see it, what amazing changes it would make from top to bottom in everything about us. Brethren, how would you treat someone in whom the living God lives? Would it curb your tongue a little bit? Would it make you think differently about the way you approached them when you disagreed with them? Husbands, wives, if you believed your partner was the very container of Almighty, Infinite, and Holy God, would that make a difference in the way you speak to one another? Would that make a difference in the way you treated one another around the house? In the business place, would it make a difference in the way you dealt with others? Would it make a difference in the way you viewed yourself? We don't need all this self-esteem stuff. We live in a day and age. I went to preach at Grace Manor last week. On the stack of magazines in there was Self magazine. That's our day. That's our age. Me. That's where he brings the punchline. You are not your own. And that's the easiest thing for us to forget. That's the easiest thing for us to forget. You are not your own. You are not your property. You're not the captain of your own fate. You're not the Lord of your life. You're not your own best leader and guide. The scripture says that he that trusts in his own heart's a fool. You are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. There it is. But brethren, there's our joy. And that's, if I can coin a word, the soberizer. You're not yours. God bought you. He doesn't jump down their throats. But He takes the sword and He places it in carefully and right to the heart of the matter. You don't belong to yourself. God paid a price for you. You are not your own. There's no free rides. Ah, but grace is free. Yes, but it cost God His only begotten Son, who took on flesh, born of a virgin, hung up on a cruel and a horrible cross. The fists of His enemies and their spit in His face and upon His head, and their whips and their scourges upon His back. What were those things? Violence? Sure, it was violence. It was God going, adultery, fornication, lies, wicked tongues. And not just some, all of them for His people. He brings them back to a sobering viewpoint. There's some horrid things happening in your church, Corinthians. You've forgotten some things, and I'm going to prod your memory back in shape. Don't you know that the unrighteous aren't going into the kingdom of God? They're not going to inherit it. You need to understand your view of sin. Don't you know that you're not supposed to join your bodies to a harlot, that you're one with Christ? You got a low view of a walk with the Lord. It's to be pure and holy. Why? What? Don't you know? Don't you know that the one joined to a harlot's one body? You need to know God's Word. Do you not know who you are as a believer? You need to get in His Word. He said that He's given you everything you need for life and holiness. Do you believe that? Will you live on that tonight? Will you live on that tomorrow as you're in the workplace? I have everything I need to be the husband, the father, the wife, the mother, the child, the workman, the friend, the brother. Do you know what God's Word says? Because you're His temple. That's where He dwells. There should be a purity and a holiness radiating from you. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My brethren, may we find ourselves letting our light so shine before men that they will glorify our God in heaven. May we not be a Corinthian church. May we not be a Laodicean church. May the body of Christ, as we see it everywhere, become that which can be said of the Lord, I know your faithfulness and your works. Brethren, ye are not your own. Your decisions will change. Your lives will change. The way you deal with everything will change when you realize that you've been purchased by the Almighty for His service in everything. Let us glorify Him in our bodies and spirits, which are His. Let's pray.